The world leader in Internet Talk Radio. Internet Talk Radio. You're listening to America's Voice. VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I'm pretending I'm a Verizon commercial, but I love that Verizon commercial because what the man is doing is moving around so he can get in a place where the most people, he can hear the most people and the most people can hear him. And so that's what that Verizon commercial is all about. And that's what Waking Up in America is all about. So I'd like to say good day to you. You're listening to a radio magazine that is for an intelligent world. And we have some very, and that doesn't mean we're dull or boring. We can actually be different than what you've thought of before. We can be quite funny. We can be very inviting. And you may find out that you're actually up to what we are up to and that you have things to share with us, and we'd love to have that happen. And you can hear the most intriguing conversations in radio right here on Waking Up in America. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Valerie Ann Kirkgaard. I play polo, firewalked, raised two kids, and boy, if that doesn't put you through it. In a variety of wonderful ways. I've piloted planes, carried the Olympic torch, and just done all kinds of things to push the envelope to see what the experience of life was like. I grew up in a very, very small world. And we actually call in from our homes and offices all over the United States to cause this program. We've got Maureen O'Crean. She's a diva, and the diva lives in, it's Hermosa, isn't it, Maureen? Ms. O'Crean?
Yes, it is. Hermosa yes. Beach, California.
She lives in Hermosa Beach, California, and she wrote this incredible book with some diva buddies of hers called Distinctively Diva, and she'll be talking with you later in the show. And we have Mr. George Wachowski. He's on the road. I don't know if he's gotten plugged into a landline or not, but George, you there? Oh, he was rushing off a freeway when we talked. That's one of the exciting things about us. We're really having lives as we put together this radio program. Lisa's landing on an airplane. We're not exactly sure what time she's going to be checking in. She's our American Indian, mother of six. Lisa Molson has one of the most remarkable lives I've ever seen. She's strikingly beautiful. She's just a very, very powerful woman, and she's part of this radio team. And you heard the diva talk, and George will pop up anytime. You'll recognize him because George is a living leader, and he believes on bringing leadership into the family, into life. And I would have to say, so far, most of the team are people that are influenced by God. We've got a guy in the background. You'll never hear him talk. you may hear his children from time to time. His name is Pete Wabach, and he's just he's what gives us the ability to multiply and duplicate and send messages all over the place. And if something doesn't hook up properly, he can fix it. That's what he's about. And we're the people that are coming here, and we're doing this whole conversation with you, and we love having you here to join us. And we've got a really special guy today. And I'm actually going to tell you a little bit of something about Dean Lindsay. He's written a book called The Progress Agents. He's in the top 40 businessmen in the Houston area, and I'm sure he'll tell us more about that. And I want to actually introduce you to him, but I want to do it through a clip from a newspaper article, because today Anne Bancroft died at the age of 73, and there's lots and lots of good press on her life and how she lived it and her relationship with Mel Brooks and how they were in love at first sight, and she's won Academy. She did it all. It was a good, well-done life of a very elegant person who found great happiness. And the film that she will always be known for, though she did not win the Academy Award, is how I wanted to lead into Dean Lindsay with you. Film critics said that I have a voice to fear that we all, that I gave a voice to fear that we all have, that we'll reach a certain point in our lives and look around and realize that all the things we said we'd do and become will never come to be, and that what we are is ordinary. And I suggest that the people engaged in this radio conversation and most of our listeners, and the theme music of our show is Almost Ordinary People. It's like with one thought off, we could end up being ordinary, but there's a conscience that we listen to, there's a spirit, there's a progress agent that shows up, and in this case, it's Dean Lindsay. And would you agree, what does that quote of Ann Baxter say to you?
Wow, well, that I think that there is an incredible tendency maybe to follow the herd and go for what quote-unquote progress means to so many others and not really take the time at a key point in our lives to define and commit to what progress means to us. And, you know, maybe tread out there on your own and figure it out for yourself, because there's a lot of things to get caught up in, and there's a lot of things that can be other people's rulers for what success is or progress is, and that's why there's so many people who are either they feel stuck or they are stuck. And but you know, most of us could if we chose to still take progress, you know, make positive steps that that led us, you know, closer to the path that we envisioned for ourselves earlier on. So I totally agree. There is that fear. There's something about discipline and regret. And the problem is
discipline and regret.
Discipline and regret.
How does that work?
Well, either you're going to go through some type of pain if you're going to try to pursue something.
Okay.
And are you either going to have the discipline to pursue it, or are you going to feel the regret later for not pursuing it?
But are you saying that you think that all change involves pain, or most change involves pain of some sort? Because I would think so, actually.
Yes. Well, I don't.
It's kind of like sore muscles. That kind of pain. Like if you haven't exercised something and you go to exercise it, and then you get sore afterwards.
Even if you do, even if you're in great shape and you exercise, there's still. I mean, I took a 5.5 mile run today, and I did not enjoy that first mile at all.
How about the third, fourth, and fifth?
The fourth mile was great. Fifth mile was great too. But that first mile, but you got to get through some of that. I mean, the thing about the discipline and regret is that the only reason that you're going to devote the discipline earlier on is if you have internalized why that particular goal or that particular endeavor is progress to you and what you're personally going to get out of it. I think one of the big challenges for us not accomplishing our goals in life is that, one, we don't actually define and then consistently commit to them, and then the problem of choices. There are just so many choices and opportunities that life in general offers, but then especially this society, of ways to invest time. And you can spend your time doing all sorts of interesting, cool things that at the end of the day are cool and interesting, but don't necessarily build towards, you know, what you wanted. You know, there's that song. What is the line? You don't have time to do the things you want to do once you find them.
Hmm.
I mean, that's an old tune. That's not 2000.
What about the one where you grow up but your children don't have time for you because you didn't have time for them?
Oh yeah, that's exactly.
I mean,
it.
You know, like what? Okay, Mr. Progress Agent, we're looking at the American family. I think Anne Bancroft summed it all up when she said people just kind of surrender into their ordinariness, and there's nothing wrong with doing ordinary stuff. But how do we? Her name is Gail Kasper, and she's a consultant, and I like her a lot. And we had this like whole conversation, and I asked her one sentence: what's the one thing I could do that would change my life? And she said, make an agenda. And I would think that would fit inside of your progress concept, would it not?
I totally agree. Making an agenda is good, but committing to that agenda every moment is even more important.
Okay, now do you have steps to, what if somebody wants to do what you're saying and
yes.
notices that they think it's a good idea, but it never actually shows up?
Well, here's the thing. There are benefits in any activity. Every activity has benefits, and to somebody, at the time they do that action, it's progress. I mean, a company downsizing, at that particular time the company downsizes, that's the right step for the company. The company believes that's the right step.
Right.
So that's progress in that situation.
You mean, okay, so progress is taking the right step.
Right is once again a relative. I mean, it's
well, when does it work out for you?
At the moment, we make the here's if you want to. What we're really talking about here, and I really appreciate having the opportunity to be on the show again. The first time I was on, I did have the opportunity of really talking a whole lot about the book, Cracking the Networking Code, and digging into how the concept of being progress for other people helps other people want to be around you because you help them take positive steps. The key there is that you have to learn as much as you can about other people so that you can help them take steps towards what you believe is going to be progress for them and help them feel what I call the six P's of progress. What we're talking about today really is you getting to know you. And so oftentimes we don't. There are so many influences that come out at us, outside influences from family and friends and media that tell us the things that we should want and have. And then when we, through not actually internalizing what we want and go after these things because we think that's what we're supposed to want, and
yeah.
Then we get there and we realize that, oh, man, I'm way off track and I've got a lot of bills and I can't get off this track. So if you're asking, if you're saying to me, how do you take stock? You've got to have incredible. The only thing that's actually going to make you make a huge difference is either strong will or disgust.
I think I'm motivated. You got me on that one. I do have strong will about some things. Radio is one of them.
But there's other things that you're just totally disgusted with the way things are. And
exactly. I can't do this anymore. I've had it.
Yeah. Again, this has got to change.
Yeah.
You've got to probably, you know. But then, really, what you have to do, and I'll reintroduce the six P's of progress we talked about before. And this is kind of my big concept for being a progress agent in general is understanding that everything we do, me, you, all the listeners, the people that are driving on highways everywhere. Everything we do, consciously or subconsciously, we do because we believe the perceived consequences of those actions. When we take those actions, we believe the perceived consequences will be us feeling a mixture of what I've labeled the six P's of progress. Pleasure, peace of mind, profit, prestige, pain avoidance, and power. And what we need to do is, see, there's benefits in eating a jelly donut, right?
Yes.
Okay, there's also benefits to not eating a jelly donut.
Listen, you just hit a nerve, okay? I'd like to get a little bit real with you for a moment. I really feel effective and powerful and confident in my life, except for one majorly discrepant area.
Everybody, listen up, everybody.
I'm not a fat pig by any means. People actually think I look fairly decent, right? But for me, I know what I look like when I look hot, and I like hot, but I ain't hot. And I even went through a seminar and punched through a board about losing weight and stuff like that, and what I do is I carefully maintain the same weight. I'll lose 5 pounds and gain 5 back. There's like a set point or something. If you were going to deal with me dealing with my physical body, what advice would you, or what, I don't know how you word it, but am I hopeless?
No. Well, I mean, you've got to realize, first off, that I say this in a lot of my talks. You want to be the ideal weight. You've got this goal of being the ideal weight, and you've even set it out. I'm going to be the ideal weight, right? And from the time you wake up until 6 o'clock at night, no problem. 7:30, no problem. 8 o'clock, 9:30, and then here comes Jay Leno. And you got this need for a little pleasure. Now there's pleasure in being the ideal weight, but you need pleasure, and there's Haagen-Dazs in the freezer. My first question is, how did that Haagen-Dazs get in the freezer? No, I mean it. How did that Haagen-Dazs get in the freezer? Now, you bought it, or somebody else bought it. But isn't it true that there is a whole team of talented, studied professionals who have worked together to get that Haagen-Dazs in the freezer, in your freezer? They know your flavors, right? They study all that stuff. They have tasters. Then they have people that actually know what verbiage to write on the container. They know the fonts. They know the colors. And then they have people who are actually hired to put product for product placement in a grocery store. Do you know why milk is in the back of a grocery store?
No.
So you have to go through the whole grocery store.
Oh, that's low.
Isn't that? Well, there you go. Eggs, milk. Think about the stuff you really need. It's all in the back.
This is not good.
That's the way it is. Because they want you to have as many impulses as you can. So the first thing you have to do is realize the competition. The only person selling you on your goal of being the ideal weight is you. But you've got a lot of other professionals, a lot of people, a lot of influences that would like for you to buy that Haagen-Dazs. See the difference?
Hmm.
Right? I'm hungry. I'm on the corner. There's a Taco Bueno right there. And it's a drive-thru. And they got a 99-cent menu. And it's not, it tastes good. See what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
But you got to compete with that. I mean, it's going to be quick. You're going to get the pleasure. There's a lot of different things right there that you could get that food in. Have you ever done something, and then 3 minutes later you go, why did I do that?
No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Because when you did it, the perceived consequences were you needed that pleasure. So in that second, if you can feel that need at 11 o'clock at night for the Haagen-Dazs, you're on the corner and there's that Taco Bueno or the, I'm not coming down on Haagen-Dazs and Taco Bueno. I mean, hey, come on. I mean, you know, I'm by no means, what is it, Jack? I'm needing to have my references down. What's the older, the classic older guy, Jack? Jack LaLanne.
Oh,
that's the one I needed. I needed to pull that out. That was the funny line. I didn't have it. I was going to say Jack Cousteau, which was not exactly the right thing to say.
By the way, I'd like to introduce you to Cherie Ross. She does the essential oils.
Hey, Cherie. So anyway, did I answer that question? Did I go off on a Google tangent?
You actually did, and I'm seeing that what you're talking about is a series of psychological things and also a recognition that there is just certain steps that you have to take if you want to get there.
Well, you're gonna have to compete. You're gonna have to realize that there is a battle for your brain, for what you focus on and what you put your attention on, and you have to sell yourself consistently because you're being sold all the time, or you're being people are trying to persuade you, or you know, all sorts of different influences and things are coming at us of things that we're supposed to choose to want to be involved in and do. But time is the great equalizer. We only have, you know, 24 hours. And whatever you do with that time, that's however you stack it up, that's what you think based on the information you have and how you've been sold or selling yourself is the best use of that time.
You know, people, if you're not on his website, you should be there right now. It's progressagents.com. And you can take a look at who's talking to you. He's a guy that looks like he knows what he's talking about. He's also got the cracking the network code. They can get it right there on the Internet, huh?
They can get it on the Internet. I'm also really jazzed to say that it's been one of the top 100 sales and marketing books on Amazon.com for over 2 months.
Oh, right.
Yeah, dig that. I'm really jazzed about that. And it's opening up a whole bunch of different avenues for the workshop, cracking the networking code workshop, and we'll really have a lot of fun with it. But it's the same basic core concept of being a progress agent, and organizations have to be a progress agent. There's nobody who's going to they talk a lot about in the industry or just in business in general about the need to steal market share. You know, if I'm with this particular cleaner, there's this other cleaner who'd like for me to do business with them instead.
Uh-huh.
First of all, I think there's a better way of saying it besides stealing market share. Really, you're going to earn
trust or earn
market share. But I'm not going to change cleaners if I see it as change. I'm not just going to change cleaners. But I will progress to a different cleaners if I see it as progress. If they can do something and it doesn't have to be anything big. I'm committed to right now to my particular cleaner. There's a besides them doing pretty good work, is they give my daughter lollipops. She loves those lollipops, and she's a cleaner. She's all top where I want to go, you know.
So you're talking about you're not talking just about service in the sense of the object. You're also talking about graciousness and all kinds of nice relationship types of things that people do for each other.
Well, they understand. People that give lollipops understand that you're not giving a lollipop to my daughter. When they give me a lollipop, you're also doing me a service because you're doing my daughter a service. That brings me happiness. That brings me pleasure to please my daughter.
You know, that's exactly what Bob Sercosta says. Well, I know there have been these wonderful people that I mentioned before speaking in the background and are thinking about what you're saying. If any of you have a question right now, this would be the time to ask.
Actually, this is George, and I don't have a question. Well, I do have a question, Dean. You gave our 6 P's of progress again, and I only was able to capture 4 of them. And I was actually attentive, ready to write it down. So
yeah.
I have pleasure, profit.
Pleasure, peace of mind, profit, prestige, pain avoidance, and power. And those are not in order. I had somebody ask before, oh, that's interesting how power is number 6. No, they rise and fall depending on what your needs are. I mean, if I asked you for $5 and you don't want to give me $5, you know, you're not going to give me $5, you know. But if I you know, take my fist and, like, I'll threaten you, you might give me $5 because it's just for the pain avoidance. So, you see what I mean? So that's how it's all, I mean, it segues back and forth. Sometimes you feel the need for pleasure. Sometimes it's peace of mind. Sometimes it's prestige. I mean, that's why it's so important that we get to know ourselves and get to know others so much better, because it's very easy to play off of one of the P's or two of the P's versus all 6. I mean, that's a whole leadership style, isn't it? Pain avoidance as a leadership style.
Yes, it is.
I mean, you know, either do it or you're fired.
Oh, we do. We have all sorts of compliance leaders in the world, and they get just what they ask for, but they never get more than that.
That's right. That's right. But if you played off of some of those other P's, you played off of the prestige. You know, Mary Kay is an amazing example of that. What's the ultimate thing to get as a Mary Kay consultant?
The pink car.
The pink Cadillac. I work a lot with Mary Kay, and if you go to Mary Kay corporate headquarters, right at the front of the headquarters, in the parking lot, they have these reserved parking spaces, not reserved for VP of sales, not for VP of finance. All of them say reserved for pink Cadillac.
Yeah. And at Southwest Airlines, Dean, the idea of pleasure, they have fun at Southwest Airlines. They talk about having fun and enjoying what they do.
And then whenever they need to bump it up and everybody's got to work overtime, they rock.
They do indeed, because they're all sharing in the profitability of the only profitable airline in America.
And you said it that way because, you know, the profitability aspect, but isn't it also true that it's because they have so much invested in through the other things that they get through the relationship?
They sure do.
It's not just about the money.
Hey,
no.
Jen Lindsay, we got to cut this short now.
Okay.
And I definitely want you back because I think the world needs to continue making progress. So check out Cracking the Network Code by Dean Lindsay, and that's with a S-A-Y, and check out theprogressagents.com, or just progressagents.com?
Yeah, progressagents.com, and Cracking the Networking Code. I'm really jazzed to get the opportunity to be back on the air with you guys.
Oh, it's absolutely wonderful. I'm trying real hard, folks, to make him a regular. We'll talk about it. So, Lisa Molson, are you there? Ah, well, we'll see where our wandering Indian is. I mentioned her earlier in the show. We have now Cherie Ross, and Cherie Ross created one of the most remarkable ongoing segments that I've seen. And what she's done is given us, if you listen to the Waking Up in America shows, you'll have the compendium of a, what do you call it, an herbalist. You have, I think we've over the years covered most of the essential oils, the degrees, and the miracles that are associated with them. And Cherie Ross is with you today, and the next 6 minutes belong to you, Cherie.
Thank you very much, Dr. Val. Hello, everyone. Well, I rolled in early this morning from being gone on about a 12-day trip down to Texas and back, and we did some powerful work down there. And so let's talk a little bit about some of the things that have come up and how the essential oils can work and affect people. And I touched on it last week. This week I'm going to do like a part two section. And that is how is it that we can be, some of us are more open to getting illnesses, diseases, viruses, bacterial infections, what have you, and others not as much. Some people say we have a strong constitution. Yeah, part of it's the DNA genetic makeup, yes. And then the other part is what is it that we put our bodies in front of and around ever on a daily basis. And there are things that we can do that actually will reverse the aging process literally, and that's not just a hocus-pocus sales pitch, and there are things that we can do that will speed it up. And so it's like wonderful Dean said, how did that Häagen-Dazs get in that freezer anyways? And it's kind of like that. It boils down to our choices. And I think a lot of it is we just plain don't know. And then once we're educated and we still make those choices, then we have to look at, okay, why am I doing the self-defeating behavior? So what's the underlying emotion, the emotional trigger that's underneath it? So first of all, let's talk about not knowing. One of the challenges that's happening, and it's coming up all over, are two things that really impressed upon me deeply when I was in Texas from a physical aspect, and that is staph infections and hepatitis. And it's not just happening in Texas. It's happening all over. I've been getting calls from the East Coast, from the Midwest, from the South, from the West Coast, that basically people are getting more and more reoccurring staph infections, anything from very young children to you name it, as well as animals, and then also this hepatitis thing that's in the surge. And drugs and meds will not get rid of staph. They will control it to some point, but it will not get rid of it. And I'm here to tell you that there are certain essential oils that can actually get rid of it. And if you're going to have surgery, I strongly encourage you to start using these oils prior to surgery, because in the United States, depending upon which hospital, anywhere from 25 to 80% of the people who have surgery leave with a staph infection. And the average is around 50%. And those odds don't sound too good to me, so I'd like to do everything I could to avoid it. So what are some oils that prevent staph? Well, one is bergamot. It's a wonderful oil. It also, one of the side effects of bergamot is it's very emotionally balancing and it's calming. It helps to balance people who have a manic depression issues going on. So bergamot's very wonderful to use. There's another oil, cinnamon. Cinnamon is very, very powerful. Now, just eating a cinnamon roll, sorry, that won't do it. You need to definitely put the cinnamon oil on because of the concentration. Lemon oil, not just eating lemons, but lemon oil, because one drop of lemon oil is equivalent to 1 pound of organic lemon rinds. And there's certain compounds in the rind that is not in the actual meat of the lemon. Very powerful, very wonderful lemon oil. Another oil is called Melaleuca alternifolia. Now, some of you go, what is that? Well, we all know tea tree oil, Australian tea tree oil, but there are many different kinds. The alternifolia is the one specifically focusing on staph. And then we have spikenard. For those of you who come from maybe went to a Catholic school or have a religious upbringing, you'll know that Jesus the Christ used spikenard on a regular basis on his feet. And the reason why is because spikenard is very powerful against flesh-eating viruses and against leprosy, which was back then, but also against staph infections. And staph infections often dramatically affect the skin. And so that's spikenard oil. Another one's Laurus nobilis, and then another one is Eucalyptus globulus. Now, these oils are very inexpensive. They range anywhere from $9 on up to, I think, the most expensive one might be $30. And let me tell you, it is worth it as a preventative, and if for some reason, let's hope it doesn't happen, but say some reason you do get an infection, please contact me, and I will guide you to the nearest clinic that's closest to you if you don't have a real good holistic clinic to work with, or I can just help you and guide you on which oils to use in conjunction with what your current medical physician is recommending for you, and it will not have an adverse effect at all. So that's staph. Now, hepatitis. Hepatitis is a little bit more intense, because it affects one of our major organs that we actually need to live. And it also affects our immune system, and then it travels through our blood and infects our blood. So with the hepatitis, and it's highly, highly infectious, one of the things with hepatitis is that you really want to make sure that your diet is cleaned up. So if you know someone who is working with or has been diagnosed with a hepatitis, please definitely contact me. And I will work with them on a customized program and support what their current medical care provider is recommending for them. Now, the oils, there's an oil called Leetum. There's another oil called Helichrysum. Helichrysum comes from Corsica. Leetum comes from Greenland. These plants are extremely powerful of getting rid of hepatitis. For some people, oregano is working. For others, we've got thyme. Thyme is also a very powerful. Clove. Clove has been phenomenal. Clove is $9 a bottle. For 250 drops, it's $9 a bottle. Give me a break. You can get your life back. And then, of course, the wonderful Lycium barbarum. And so I'm here to say this has been medically researched. It has been tested. I have veterinarians using it on small little tiny cats that are getting phenomenal results. if it doesn't hurt them, let me tell you, it certainly is not going to hurt an adult or a baby or an infant. They're powerful, they're wonderful, and you can't just go to a health food store and say, well, give me a bottle of this or give me a bottle of that, because the majority of those oils are not at the highest level. They are not distilled properly to retain the balance of what we call the chemotypes in the plant. And so when they're distilled, if you get them at a health food store, the majority of them are for fragrance only. These you need to take internally. So I invite you to talk to someone who's skilled. Definitely be happy to assist you and support you in reclaiming your life. Because when you hear those words that you have blah, 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 whatever the blah, blah, blah is, it feels like you've got the rug pulled out from under you, and it feels like you have no choices and no options. And let me tell you, you have options that maybe your current care provider isn't aware of. And it would be wonderful to know that you do have more options that will bring you greater success to support your regaining and retaining wholeness. And something just for fun. Let's talk quickly about mosquito bites, bees, bugs, snakes, all that. Basil oil. I'm going to leave you with basil oil. Basil oil is phenomenal. It will literally dissolve the venom from a brown recluse spider. It will dissolve the venom from a bee sting or from a mosquito or a fly bite. It will dissolve from a tick, and it is also very powerful to relieve migraine headaches if you put it on the back of your head in the front. And if you have any type of a histamic response from like an allergy situation, basil oil very, very quickly breaks up histamines in the body, very, very quickly. So it's a wonderful little oil to have around now that we're actually going into summer. Yay!
Yes.
Yay! So if you'd like to learn more about these oils and what they can do and how they can support you and your loved ones and have some fun in your life, okay, because these are a whole lot of fun, give us a call at toll-free 866-RADIO-99, heavenincorporatedallspelledout.com, or young-living.net. That's my website. There you go.
Very good. So, Cherie.
Yes.
We were talking today about change. Just a quick one. What is an oil for change?
Well, it depends. I have two, release and acceptance. Release oil? Yeah, and it's how you look at change. Some people have a hard time letting go, and so release oil would be very appropriate to shift the emotions and to shift the frequency so that you feel calm about the letting go.
Okay.
Other people, they have a hard time accepting.
Well, thank you very much. You personally, dear listeners, whether you know it or not, we have influenced each other greatly over the years. And in the course of doing these radio shows together, each one of us has taken on some of the best habits and talents of the people around us. And Cherie has really gotten me into more of awareness about essential oils and things like that. I had a very superficial knowledge before. And there's somebody that's here. Is Lisa here yet? Ms. Malson? My issue is she's been traveling by airplane today, so we were keeping our fingers crossed that that she would drop in. Next in line, we actually have a living leader, a true leader, the man who actually brought Dean Lindsay to my attention and to the radio show. And gosh, based on what we were talking about with Dean, I don't know what your segment is today, George, but I would love to, at some point, if you put in your 6 minutes, something about leadership in the family or how that emerges.
I would be happy to do that, Val. And in fact, as I was listening to Dean today and thinking about what's happened in my leadership life this week, I have been working as a coach with a group of folks within an organization, and it's around their individual development plan. And I also, as a father, have enjoyed the progress that our twins have made, and they are both launching into their professional careers. And there's a common pattern among the folks that I'm working with and as I look at my kids, and that is the role of a coach is not to criticize, but to help the individual embrace their own gifts and talents, so that they can shift from blending in, which is that human need to be part of the crowd, to standing out, to being able to uniquely express the gifts and talents that God gave us. And I was at church on Sunday, and I was in a group, and I just made the comment. I said, you know, we have all of these issues about, you know, my imperfections, our individual imperfections. And I just made the comment, God did not create any mistakes. God didn't create any mistakes. Each of us has gifts and talents that are needed by others. And none of us have all of the gifts and talents, which means we do need other people's gifts and talents to help fill our gaps.
Oh, boy, perfect.
So instead of focusing on the gaps, we need to be focusing on who am I aligning myself with that can help me with my gaps so that I can use my gifts and talents in service to others. And that's what we need to be able to do to stand out. Now, our twins, John and Kate. John has a gift for foreign language. He is fluent in Spanish and Portuguese. He knows a smattering of French and Italian.
Good Lord.
And he has now started in a job with an international company where he is working with the subcontractors in other countries. So he has to be culturally aware, be able to communicate in their native language, and be respectful of their cultures so that he really is building relationships. Well, when John was in ninth grade, he was failing Spanish. He was labeled as a problem in school. And we saw him through the eyes of the school as a failure. We as parents bought into the labels that were being placed on him. And it was through the wisdom of a successful workshop leader. Her name is Jennifer James. And Jennifer gave me a gift. She said, there are multiple intelligences. Only two of them are actually dealt with in school, and that's the verbal, math, the build-in for the SATs. Mm-hmm. She said, all the other ones are still there. And it's an interpersonal skill, the knowledge and intelligence to be able to interact well with other people, an intrapersonal intelligence, knowledge of self, self-management, a kinesthetic movement of the body, mechanical, how do things work. And I realized as I was listening to her that John's gifts and talents were in these other intelligences, not in the math and verbal that was being driven in school.
Oh, yeah.
So we were listening to the school label rather than answering our hearts because we could see that John had talent. And once we began to support him in his passion, and he went to Guatemala for the Boy Scout Jamboree and used his Spanish, and he met the Brazilian scouts there, which enabled him then to go to Brazil and learn Portuguese. He came back to the States having completed his Eagle Scout project in Brazil without his parents, and he went to a school in Florida where he majored in international business and completed 2 3-month internships and still graduated in 4 years with a 3-1 overall.
My God.
You see, each and every person has gifts and talents, and in our roles as true leaders, we need to be able to help them embrace their gifts and talents and support and encourage their pursuit of that, because that's how they will make their best progress. Because when you're playing to your strengths, when you really are embracing your gifts, not taking it for granted, but recognizing that this is a gift that I have that others need, it's not an egotistical thing. It is simply a reality that I have gifts that others don't. They need my gifts. I need to offer them. The better I can meet other people's needs through my gifts, the more progress I will make. So as I'm coaching the folks within this company, we're talking about what are the things that keep us from standing out. Well, we heard today that Ann Bancroft said we resign ourselves to being ordinary. I think there's a fear about standing out because, as Dean would say, I want to avoid the potential pain if I fail. I will get penalized for being outside of the crowd. Instead of recognizing that our unique gifts and talents will actually allow us to do what we do, because anything that you're asked to do, you can do it with flair. And I think about one of the fellows at the Rangers ballpark here in Texas. When he goes out to sweep the field at the seventh inning, he does it with a jazzy step and he tips his hat. He is a performer out there doing a mundane task. The receptionist who greets you as a friend with a smile and remembers the name of your kids, she's doing the same job that everybody else is, but she's actually being appreciative of the fact that you've come to visit their company. anything that we're asked to do, we can do with our own flair. You put a smile on it, you put a positive spin on it, you add your own, you know, you walk through the halls of many companies, people don't even talk to you, and they sure won't smile at you, but if you ask them, hi, how are you today, what are you doing for fun this weekend, you will watch people light up. And they will tell you about what they're doing for fun, or they'll say, I haven't even thought about it because I've been so buried at work. I said, well, now as you think about it, what would you like to do for fun? And all of a sudden, we're dealing with folks, connecting with them on a human level. That's what living leadership is about. We're supposed to make that connection with other people. We're supposed to reinforce their humanity and bring out the best in them so that they can be their best for others. This segment has been brought to you by True Leader Coach, Inc. We encourage you to give us a call for a free consultation on making progress in your life at 877-321-4852. That's 877-321-4-TLC. Back to you, Val.
Thanks, George. My technical person tells me we're having problems with the phone lines. Please forgive us. This is part of the wonderful humanity of doing something all over the airwaves. Sometimes we get the advantages and sometimes we don't. Well, I am hoping that the diva is ready. The diva's had a really active quarter. She and the fairy distributed gifts all over the world. I was the lucky recipient of Godiva chocolates waiting for me in the box. This quite made my day. It's a wonderful world that she opens up, one that many of us feel that we're maybe even like too busy to have to be divas anymore. Who can be a diva when you've got a kid to feed and you've got somebody to, that has to come in and help you get things cleaned up? And it's like, and life seems like it's caught up in the ordinary things. And I don't mean there's anything wrong with bringing up children, but it's not a world that the divas can thrive on unless they have Alex for a son. Because this particular diva, excuse me, I just, when you told me you had Alex making feather boas, I just thought it was perfect training.
I know, he's awesome feather cutter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, see, you would never, but and what do you call them when they're boys, Maureen?
Divos.
Divos. There you go, diva. Take it away.
Well, I want to remind everyone that diva is from the Sanskrit, and it means the light of the divine. So every one of you is a diva or a divo. This is indeed Maureen O'Crane, and I am calling to you from distinctivelydiva.com. the online community of women. Today I want to talk to you briefly about where the true gold lies. And this also applies to individuals and nonprofits, although the tips I'll give nonprofits will be different. But I want you to think about what I'm going to say in that context. I remember as a child being fascinated by the very small aspect of a much larger fairy tale, Jack and the Beanstalk. I guess I've never really been enamored with conquest, and I really thought that Jack was a thief. But I loved the hen that laid the golden eggs.
Oh, I'm kind of fond of that hen myself.
Well, the original source, of course, was Aesop, who had a tale with a moral core, and the goose that laid the golden egg. A man and his wife had been given the good fortune to possess a goose that laid a golden egg every day. For a while, they were happy and lived well. But then they became impatient with how quickly they were accumulating their wealth. They thought if the goose could lay such a fine egg of gold, surely it must be lined with gold. And so they cut the goose open.
Oh, this just makes me so sick.
And all they got was a goose. There was no gold inside. Aesop, the moral of the story was, he who wants more loses all. And I think there's also a hidden message. True gold in life comes from the process of creating. You, my dear divas and divos, are the golden goose. Each day you lay multiple golden eggs throughout your life. They're often disguised as meals for loved ones, staying a little later at work to help your boss or your coworkers, volunteering at the church or the PTA, running a company and employing others, working on your cross stitch or scrapbooking, or the passion of your heart. Everything that you do each and every day brings a blessing to another, and that's the golden egg. Like the goose in the story, you know how to lay the eggs. How well do you care for the goose? If you're at all like me, and I think we are all very much alike, we're very, very hard on the goose or the gander. And instead of recognizing all the golden eggs that have been laid and being thankful, we act like the greedy man and woman in the story, and we demand more, more, more until the goose is exhausted. It's time now that we honor the goose and we forget about the eggs. If the goose is well cared for, the eggs will come, won't they? Now, I have 7 lucky tips for the care and feeding of the golden goose for a person, and I think I have a couple minutes to share them. The first one is take one day off from work. The Sabbath is there for a reason, and even God rested. And on the 7th day, he saw all that he did, and it was good, and he rested. Number 2, feather your own nest. I have the most delightful bed linens. They're all feather mattresses, and I feel like the princess in the pea story every night when I go to bed on a cloud. I bought them at a discount store that we have called Tuesday Mornings. So scout around your town for a discount store and find a feather mattress of your own. Number 3 is nurture another golden goose. Identify a friend or a loved one running on fumes. Pick up her kids after school. Take over the scout meeting. Bring her a home-cooked dinner. Just double your own batch and leave it on the step. Why do we wait until we're struck down with a catastrophic illness or event to reach out to each other? Let's start a prevention program with our own circle of women before our goose is cooked. Number 4, feed your spirit daily. Come to distinctivelydiva.com and sign up for the Daily Diva Word. It's the free quick pick-me-up that comes in your email. Number 5, turn off your noise and give yourself 15 minutes of quiet alone time, even if you have to sit in the car. Number 6, become a teacher. The only way that we really ever learn anything new is from someone else. As you begin to value yourself as the golden goose, you really are, you'll begin to notice other women struggling to do it all. Share what you've learned. And number 7 is the most important one of all. Never mistake the egg as the gift. We have become a society that values things more than people. It's often joked tongue-in-cheek that you're only as good as your last accomplishment. That is the ultimate lie. We are not a collection of the things we do, the sale we make, or the goal that's conquered. You are the gift. You are the golden goose. The egg is just the last thing you created. I've created some postcards to remind you to take care of the golden goose, and you can download them for free at distinctivelydiva.com. And please call us at 866-RADIO-99. Visit our website and sign up for our mailing to hear all about our greatest guests coming on at wakingupinamerica.com. And thank you so much.
Oh, really interesting. And I really, let's give a free plug to Tuesday Morning. I love that store.
This is a cool store.
You need things I ever have. If you like Christmas stuff, too, like, right after Christmas, it's like 75% off, and some of it's pretty good stuff. And it is the best place in the world for linens.
That's wonderful.
Especially the big comforters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just sitting here and I'm thinking, here we've had a remarkable conversation on the show today about our progress in our lives and being divas and the oils and leadership. And I'm wondering if any of you have a desire to kind of put together what you've heard or wrap it up for yourself today's show.
Val, I'd actually like to contribute one other aspect. You know that Lauren Bacall is the spokesperson for Tuesday Morning.
I do.
Yes, and Tuesday Morning is headquartered here in Dallas, Texas.
Is it really now?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's so funny.
I just wanted to point that out.
No, I
also wanted to emphasize, because I missed talking about her daughter, Kate. Kate just graduated from law school. She was under tremendous pressure to pursue law firm offers because they're big bucks there. But it also requires an 80, 90, 100-hour commitment a week, and she didn't want to do that. And her talent is in writing and editing. So she's chosen to go into legal publishing, where her gifts and talents are superiorly matched. And because she will be leading a more balanced work life, she's already putting together the projects about the books she'd like to research and write, the volunteer activities she'd like to participate in, and the other ways that she can utilize her gifts in ways that she may become someone who's writing a column in the local newspaper. In other words, she's looking at her gifts and talents and saying, I will utilize them within my profession, but I'm also building something else, and that's about how my gifts can help other people.
Well, that's good, George. I appreciate that. Well, I really was appreciating Dean Lindsay, and I was appreciating the conversation. You can almost imagine when people say change. You know, I don't think divas change, do they, Maureen? I think they kind of... they float in on a breath of Godiva or something like that, but they don't really change, do they?
Well, one of the things that Dean said in March when he was on our show, which it was a profound opening for me, is that people don't like to change, but everyone wants progress. And divas progress through their lives, gracefully and ungracefully, and nobody wants to change. Nobody wants to change. I live a life of constant self-growth and fulfillment, and I hate to change. I hate it when the bank changes something. Recently, the post office has extended their hours to 7, and 5 o'clock used to be my shut-off time because the post office was closed.
Oh, that's very funny.
So progress is the key.
So, Sheree, I'm wondering how progress or change, how that whole conversation lands with you.
Well, my life has been constant change, so I'm rather used to it, and I'm very good at it. Because it just is. And progress is wonderful if you can identify it as progress when it's happening, not after the fact.
Well, what if we just called it all progress and then... We're going to be having Barbara Mueller on in a couple of weeks. She's the wife of former Undersecretary of the UN, Robert Mueller, and
yes.
It turns out that she's considered the female Wayne Dyer.
Wonderful.
Did you know that?
No, I had no idea.
No, well, it turns out that she's one of the primary speakers on planet Earth about intention. So you have to understand, I got really excited about, we'll be recording her tomorrow, and if you'd like to be on that session, it's 11 o'clock California time. Please,
how cool is
I'd
that?
I'd love to have you be on that conversation with them. They're remarkable people. Robert Mueller, when I was at the UN with Lisa, are you here, Lisa? When Lisa and I were at the UN, and they'd given a prize to Ted Turner for having contributed $1 billion, right, to the UN, Robert Mueller got it afterwards. He played his harmonica. And it turns out that he's known for that. So it's like, it was just absolutely, totally delightful. And what I also learned at the UN from Harry Fisher, who I when I was talking to Barbara Mueller today, says that he was actually the perfect person for me to run into because he's been there for 35 years. And the thing that he said to me when he was taking me up to the conference room, this perfect accident, right, he says to me, you know, peace takes a long time. And it was like, I don't think I ever looked at it like that. I kind of wanted something to stop happening immediately, even though I understood it was an evolution. But he said that it was a conversation that was changing and that happens all the time. And he gave me his business card, and I just looked at it the other day for the first time, and he's a psychoanalyst. And he's like 75 years old, and he was willing to commit his life to what he believed in. And what you'll notice about everybody on this show is we We are living our commitments. I'm living mine. Cherie is living hers. You can't stop her. You can drop a horse on that woman and she won't stop. Am I correct?
You are correct.
Try to stop the diva. Try to tell the diva that the fairy's not going out. I've talked to the diva. She's had to, like, resuscitate the fairy to get it going, but she will. It all has to happen, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And so, I think that we're the lucky ones.
Yeah.
Yes, we are. I think we are.
Well, there you go, you guys. I'm pleased by the family that's around us. I'm pleased by the incredible gifts of the people that are around me. I'm a better person because I know each one of them. And there are people that aren't here right now that have influenced our lives tremendously. And it's just like you can't ever be the same once you've hung out with them. And the truth is, like, you never hear Pete talk. Make a sound, Pete.
You can't when he's recording.
Yeah, his sound. I heard him laugh. That was Pete's laugh. Okay, so we want to actually thank you for listening to this program that had Dean Lindsay, and it was about change, and all of our wonderful editors. And we'd like to say that this program has been produced by our radio partners, KoningCompany.com, Dr. James Murphy in Memoriam, our associate and CTO, Pete Wabach, and God bless Maureen O'Crean as our webmaster, and Ben Migan, who you can hear his music in the background. That music is Almost Ordinary People, and it's for all of us. Thanks to all the folks at Voice America, Eric and Denise, Nathan, and forgive me, I'm not sure who our announcer is today. Give us the space and the talent to create this show every week. They do that. Check our website for stations in our area. It's HeavenIncorporated, allspelledout.com. And next week, invite a friend to listen.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time on VoiceAmerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at HeavenIncorporated.com.